Proverbs chapter 31. Father, as we come to your word, Lord, we thank you for how you've kept it so pure. Help us to receive it, believe it, and live it as your authority. Lord, please touch us and let it convict us and override our authority. We need you this morning, Father, so badly. Help me as I preach, please. In Jesus' name, amen. As you look at this, this is one of the many passages that God teaches about liquor, alcohol, in the Bible. And we're going to look at it. It's amazing to me how many people ask the question, is drinking alcohol a sin? But they never ask that about murder. They never say, is murdering somebody sin? They never say, is prostitution a sin? And the very fact that they know it's a sin questionable is because of the perversion of their heart, not because they don't wonder if it's sin or not. They're looking, and watch this, when I read the Bible, I don't come to it looking for an excuse to sin. That's the difference. A lot of people come looking, well, I can justify this, and I'll show you a few passages this morning. This is one of the passages that people use to justify drinking alcohol. See, God says do it. Well, let's look at this. First of all, this is a mother teaching her son. Now, this is all the word of God in Proverbs 31, but this is a mother teaching her son. And then look what she says in verse number four. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now, I know there's no such things as what you would call king monarchies anymore, but I can take you to Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 5 and show you where God made you a king when you got saved. It is not for kings. It's not for you. If you're saved, drinking alcohol in any form is not for you. You say, well, I'm a child of God. Doesn't it use the word prince in verse 4? Well, if you're a prince, that means you're a child of the king. Any aspect you want to take of it, it is not for kings to drink strong drink. Look at verse number 5. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now here's where people use the Bible to justify sin. Look at verse number 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. That means those that are ready to die. But would you please keep in mind, if we're Christians, and that's what we're supposed to be, what was Jesus' example when he was suffering on the cross and they offered him gall to take away the pain? It was fermented. What did Jesus do? He refused it. If Jesus is our example, right? So when they offered him an alcohol to take away the pain when he was dying, he turned it down. So Jesus is our example, and give wine unto them that are ready to perish. Can we go to, I tell you what, just think with me. Keep your Bible right there. Think with me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish. So if you've trusted Jesus, you're never going to perish. Therefore, you don't need to be drinking alcohol. Amen. Amen. Now I'm not doing semantics or making word plays this morning. I'm using the Bible. What's it say? Give wine unto them that are ready to perish. And look at verse number 6 there. It says, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Now wait a second. John 10:10 said, Jesus said, I am come to give life that they might, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if you're saved, why would you be drinking to get rid of a heavy heart? And doesn't the next verse say, what's verse 7 says? Let him drink and forget his poverty. You're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you don't have any poverty to forget. Amen? Look at the last part. And remember his misery. So heavy hearts and misery. You know, you hear a lot of Christians say, well, I just drink to relax a little bit. I don't get drunk. So Jesus, who's peace, and Jesus, who's hope, and Jesus, who's love, and Jesus, who is your faith and your wisdom, what a blasphemous statement to say, I need a few drinks every once in a while just to relax. You're saying liquor gives me what Jesus cannot, and that's blasphemous. No child of God ought to be talking that way. Ever. It's wrong. It's wicked. And it's blasphemous. You say, and I've watched people come to this passage. Well, Proverbs 31 says, give strong drink unto him that is ready. Are you saved? Amen. Then you don't need to be drinking liquor at all. It's a sin. It is a sin. Now, if we stayed in the book of Proverbs, we're going to go a few more places. Go back to Proverbs 23. Watch this. Proverbs 23. As you turn to Proverbs 23, alcohol has been the ruin of millions of men. And if Jesus tarries, it will be the ruin of millions more. It does nothing but destroy lives. Well, I'll show you that here in just a little bit. Look at Proverbs 23. Look at verse 29. Who hath woe? Woe in your Bible is a curse. Who has the curse? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? You ever seen a drunk? That's babbling. Who hath babbling? Who has these wounds without cause and redness of eyes? Look at verse number 30. It says, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. How can a Christian justify drinking? Well, I don't get drunk. I just drink a little. When God says, don't even look at it. Well, I just drink a little bit. God says, don't even look at it. What they always used to show, you know, I know they don't show the, when I was growing up, there was whiskey commercials. And when I was growing up, I mean, there was, I think, wine commercials, and I don't think they do those anymore. I know they do nasty beer commercials, but they always show it pouring into the cup. You say, why? Because there's just something demonic about it. It's not like Coke or Sprite or water. There's something. God says, when it moveth itself in the cup, don't even look at it. How can a Christian justify drinking and say, well, because here's what I've heard my whole, well, God's not against alcohol, God's against drunkenness. You didn't use the Bible, because God says don't even look at it. That tells me this. That's a strong enough verse to tell me it's never supposed to be in my home. Never. Look at verse number 32. Watch this. It says, at the last it biteth like a serpent. I only know one serpent in the Bible, and that's the devil. It bites like the devil and stingeth like an adder. That's why they call alcohol in any form devil water. Devil water. Look at verse number 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Look, the old statement, vice sells. If you want to make money, sell sin. Cigarettes sell. Alcohol sells. Sex outside of marriage, prostitution, and illicit sex, it sells. So if you want to make money, sell vice. Vice still makes a lot of money, and people have been selling it for a long time, but it's no justification for a Christian. Watch this. It says here, thine eyes shall behold strange women. It's amazing. The liquor and the prostitution always go hand in hand. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Stop. Top of a mast. There's the top of the mast, right? Thou shalt be. Then look at the next verse. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. I feel sore all over. I just feel awful. That's the hangover, right? Then watch this. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. The body goes numb with the alcohol. Look at the last part. When shall I awake? They sleep a lot when they get drunk. I will seek it yet again. It's the only sin in the Bible that after somebody participates with it, then it's, oh, sure had a rough night last night. Then sure enough. But it's never bad enough to depart, because it's a demon. It keeps pulling them back. That's why it's called spirits. Isn't that what a liquor store is called? Spirit store? We sell spirits here. What else is alcohol called? Booze. Booze. Like spirits. I'm telling you, there's demons involved. I can't name them all. I can just say this. There's something spiritually damning about alcohol. There's something damning about alcohol. You're in Proverbs 23. Go to Proverbs 20. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse number 1. There's so much. Look, if you get your Christianity off of YouTube, you will be an anemic, weak ding-dong. Do you understand? There's so much garbage on the internet, and if you want to justify any sin with the Bible, you can. But I told you when we started this, Christian, don't you come to God's Word saying, well, there's got to be something in here telling me I can do that. If you want, you can take something out of context and justify almost any sin you want. Almost any sin. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 1. If this isn't marked in your Bible, it ought to be. Ready? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That means fools drink booze. Fools drink booze. Christians aren't supposed to. Look, if a Christian's supposed to, if Christ is our wisdom, then Jesus Christ would never lead you to take a drink. Jesus would never lead you to take a drink of alcohol. Wine is a mocker. It mocks you and it's raging. Alcohol won't help you. It makes you look dumb. It makes you walk dumb. It makes you sound dumb. That's why they should call it Bud Dumber instead of Budweiser. It does not make you wiser. It makes you dumber. Okay? All right. Now listen. Broken homes, destruction, death, and despair all flow out of the liquor bottle. Doesn't matter if it's beer, wine, fancy name, stupid Chardonnay, and all that garbage. Perversion, wickedness, unbridled lust, lawless behavior are all fueled by Satan's liquid poison. Sinners sin. But sinners sin in abundance when they get alcohol in them. Ask any police officer about any domestic violence and let them tell you how much domestic violence does not involve alcohol. They'll tell you in almost every, I've asked many police officers that. So whenever you're called to a home in a beating or some type of violence, how much of it is liquor involved? And they'll tell you they can't name the times it wasn't, although they think there's a few times. There's a few times. Wicked people come up with new forms of wickedness when they get alcohol in them. People going the wrong way go farther in the wrong direction and faster in the wrong direction because of intoxicating beverages. Alcohol in any form has been the downfall to many nations all throughout history. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Isaiah chapter 28 says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. So Ephraim was overcome by wine before they were overcome by their neighbors, and that has been the history of every nation. Drunkenness has always led to the ruin of any people. If I took you to this morning, where we're going to go next is, you can go to Isaiah 28. Just kind of stay there. Go to Isaiah in your Bible, chapter 28. While you go to Isaiah 28, I need you to listen to me. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 10, alcohol was the downfall of Nineveh. Jonah preached to them, but when they got away from the Bible and took up the bottle, they brought about their destruction as God allowed them to be devoured. That's Nahum 1:10. If we went this year, going to Isaiah 28, but if we went to Amos 4:1, Amos 6:6, those verses tell us that drunkenness was used to destroy Samaria and sent the 10 tribes of the north into judgment and captivity, with King Hoshea being the last king. Drunkenness is what sent them there. If I took you to 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning, it says here, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight evening even until the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. That's another place in the Bible where drunkenness paved the way for the defeat of the Amalekites when David was taking things back after they had looted Ziklag. Drunkenness brought destruction to Ben-Hadad and 32 allied kings in the first battle between Syria and Israel in the days of Ahab. The Bible says that the eventual downfall of Babylon is drunkenness and is foreshadowed and prophesied about when Belteshazzar partied, when 1,000 of his servants, lords and concubines, drank out of the vessels of the Lord, and that's Daniel chapter 5. When a nation becomes a nation of wine-bibbers and alcohol consumers, and the leaders of that nation pass laws making it legal in any form, that nation's judgment begins. And if America stood before God today, it would stand in a drunken stupor. Listen close. The French and German soldiers faced each other for 8 months at the beginning of World War II. No fighting took place as they set the battle in array. The Germans had a rigid policy, no alcohol in any form and no smoking. The French did not. They reveled in unbridled lust and drink and exercised no self-control. On the French side, listen, this is when Germany and France were facing each other at the start of World War II. The French had 814 soldiers were in the hospital with delirium tremors. That's DTs. 814 soldiers because they were drinking. The French were drunkards of the worst sort. The Germans swept around the line, blitzed France, and in just a few days it was all over, to the amazement of the world that France surrendered to Germany. And General Pétain, he was a hero in World War I. Now this is the French hero at the start of World War II. He said, our soldiers were drunk and could not fight. That they won't tell you that in the history books. Every history thing I looked up on why France surrendered to Germany in World War II, it just said the Germans came on real quick, until you read General Pétain's, the French general's statement, our soldiers were too drunk. The world doesn't like downplaying alcohol. Isaiah, you're in Isaiah 28. Can you look at verse 3? Watch this. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. Look it down at verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Look at verse 8. What a picture of a drunken party. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That's a party. Had a great party there. Tables are full of vomit. Yay. Preachers are drinking nowadays. Men who call themselves men of God, they have no problem with social drinking. Prophets are drinking, just like the verse says. No wonder there's no voice of righteousness and decency in our nation. I can let you know as your pastor, liquor's not in my home. We don't cook with it. We don't touch it. We don't buy it. Somebody said, oh yeah, but if you cook with it, then all the alcohol evaporates. I don't want to support the liquor crowd. I don't want any food made with liquor. Oh yeah, but you know, then they light it on fire and bring it to you flaming, and I don't want it. I can do without it. I've done this long and it'll be just fine. I don't need it. I don't order it. I don't even mind asking. They say, would you like it put on fire for us, for you to, you know, eat it there when we bring it to you? And I say, no. I say, is it made with liqueur? They'll say, of course it is. I'll say, oh, then give it to the dog. 100 years ago, preachers had such sway that drinking alcohol was against the law. Those were the days of prohibition. Now, 100 years later, you would search far and wide to find any pastor that would touch this subject, with over 20 million Americans who are said to be alcoholics. One out of every 17 people that drink are an alcoholic. One out of 17. Alcoholic is a politically correct and culturally sensitive word, but the Bible calls them drunkards and drunks. Alcohol, well, it's a sickness. It's not a sickness. It's a sin. It's a sin. And I'm not a drunk. How much did you drink? Well, I'm drunk once. Well, then you're one drink drunk. I'm not drunk. Did you drink? Drunk is past tense of drink. If you drink, then you're a drunk. You're just not as drunk as the one who drank five, but you're a drunk. That's the Bible word for it. God never uses the word alcoholic. God never uses the word alcoholic. America spends $50 billion a year on alcohol and booze. Alcohol costs us $68.6 billion a year in work loss, medical sickness, civil violence, court costs, road, those destroyed in the road, vehicle wrecks. It has never been good for the economy. That's just what they say about gambling. Oh, yeah, but it'll bring in this much money, but they never tell you how much more it costs in destroyed lives. Oh, if you'll legalize alcohol, it'll bring in this much, but it'll cost you this much in damned souls. It's never been good for the economy. 60% of those with 60% of those with sexually transmitted diseases were drunk at the time of infection. Think about what I just said. The leading cause of mental retardation is alcohol during pregnancy. Alcohol causes more deaths than any other source except cancer and heart disease, and even studies show that alcohol plays a big part in cancer and heart disease. Alcohol kills 25,000 people a year on our, that's just our roads. That's just our roads. That's 70% of all accidents involve alcohol. Could anybody tell me, name me a politician that could get voted in by making his platform, vote me in and we'll make alcohol illegal. They'd probably kill him. America's too drunk for that. I wish they would. Somebody ought to stand up and say it's sin, but nobody's doing that. Alcohol injures over 1 million people a year in automobile accidents. So not kills, injures. 2 in every 5 Americans will be involved in an alcohol-related crash at some time in their lives. And America is concerned with salt or cholesterol or overeating? No one gets fat and goes home and beats his wife. You understand? You know, the police officer comes, well, what happened here? Well, it's too much salt. I had too much salt on my burger. That's what caused me to beat my wife. Really? Officer comes in. What's going on here? This violence. Well, we ate at McDonald's and our cholesterol level got too high. It never happens. It's always alcohol involved. Always alcohol involved. And America's worried about salt intake and cholesterol. Police estimate on a weeknight, 1 out of every 10 drivers are drunk. That's on a weeknight. They estimate on the weekend, 1 out of every 3 is drunk from Friday to Sunday. That means every person you pass, that's how drunk America is. Alcohol is the leading cause of death for ages 15 to 24, not guns. They're screaming for gun control. We don't need gun control. We need alcohol prohibition. Guns don't kill people. Murderers with guns kill people. And if they would take care of the murderers like they're supposed to, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You put them to death. That's God's plan. That's capital punishment. But no, we'd rather fill the prisons. And they are. And they are. And our tax dollars pay for them. They get meals a day, a nice cot to sleep in. They even get an exercise room and the internet and their own website. Until they, 20 years later, might decide to put them to death. Do you know how much a day that cost the taxpayer? If they would obey God, did he kill somebody? Yes, he did. Then put him to death. I don't care what you do. Shock him, hang him, inject him, gas him, maybe all 4 of them. Just do all 4. I don't care how you kill him. God says kill him. And if we would do that, there'd be less murders. There'd be less murders, but we got a better way. We're socially, politically correct. I'm the greatest criminal in history. I've killed more men that have fallen in all of the wars of the world combined. I turned men into brutes. I've made millions of homes unhappy. I've transformed many ambitious youths into hopeless parasites. I make smooth the downward path for countless millions. I destroy the weak and I weaken the strong. I make the wise man a fool and trample the fool in his folly. I ensnare the innocent. The abandoned wife knows me. The hungry children know me. I have ruined millions and shall ruin millions more. I am alcohol. You should stay away from alcohol in any form. You shouldn't have any friends who drink it. 83% of all deaths by fire are alcohol related. 68% of all deaths by drowning are alcohol related. 80% of all suicides are alcohol related. 40% of all industrial accidents are alcohol related. 86% of all murders are alcohol related. 65% of all child abuse is alcohol related. How come no one's screaming in America about booze? No one touches the horrors of liquor because there's too much money involved in it. That's why. The love of money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Where's the preachers preaching against it? Only someone under the influence of Satan would call an atmosphere where booze is served a party. 200,000 people die every year in America because of someone else's alcohol. That's 545 people a day. Those are huge numbers. Miller Time, the King of Beers, Jack Daniels, Captain Morgan, and the rest of the reprobates produced 200,000 funerals in America a year. There aren't 200,000 people a year that get shot accidentally, let alone 200,000 people that get shot on purpose and killed, but the cries against guns. Guns, and I already said that, but America spends $72 per person per year on alcohol. That's two times the total amount given to nonprofit and charitable institutions. That means America, on the average, per person, gives two times as much the amount to a liquor store as they do to church. No wonder our prisons are full and our courts are backed up with divorce and domestic violence cases. Because liquor. How delusional do you have to be to pass a seatbelt law when it comes to alcohol, just tell everyone to get a designated driver? You say, but seatbelt law, say, look, if I want to wear a seatbelt when I get in the car, that's my prerogative. I can solve the whole issue. If you're in an accident without your seatbelt on, then your insurance is not valid. If you want to pay the whole cost, that's fine. But I, as another insured driver, should not have to pay for you if you don't want to wear your seatbelt. Amen? Okay, now that we just solved that world's problem, let's get back to the alcohol, all right? How come they don't put warning labels on bars? Warning. Last week, someone who left here drunk killed a family of three. How come they don't put warning labels on stores that sell it? Warning. Last week, someone purchased liquor from this store and went home and beat his wife. Warning! Last week, a woman left here with beer and got a venereal disease because of it. They ought to put warning labels on the stores that sell it. 7 cents out of every dollar America spends is spent on goods and services, that America spends on goods and services is spent on beer, wine, liquor, alcohol, or booze. If you drink alcohol in any form this morning, I'm not preaching against you, I'm preaching for you. I love you as your pastor, but please tell me, how do I love you if I don't hate what hurts you? I can't. It's not good for you, it's not good for your church, it's not good for your community. When someone says, well, I think you should just preach the Bible and stay away from the topic of booze and liquor, the Bible has so much to say about strong drink. Are you in Isaiah? Go to chapter 5. Go to chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. I'm amazed at how many Christians don't know this. Now, when I got saved, I had a drinking problem, and I don't know that I was an alcoholic, but liquor and hard liquor was a part of my life before I got saved. And when I got saved, I had to have somebody give me some, I wanted Bible answers. Because my youth director stood up in our youth group and said, well, if you're for drinking, why don't you sit over here? And if you're against drinking, why don't you sit over here? And for 45 minutes, we had a stupid chat. No Bible. It was nothing but opinions. And at the end of the youth group meeting, we said, okay, now that we've discussed this, I wasn't taught that liquor was sin until I got saved. I was raised with it being, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's personal preference. It's if you want to or not. How does a Christian not turn to the Bible for answers? Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 11. Ready? It says here, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. God doesn't say you aren't cursed if you don't drink in moderation. God says you're cursed if you drink at all. What a verse in the Bible. Woe unto them. Anytime you see woe in your King James Bible, it always means cursed are they. Cursed are they that rise up in the morning. Look down at verse 21. Ready? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. Look at verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. They brag about how much they can drink. Oh, my tolerance level's pretty high. I can drink 5. Nobody says that about Coke. Yesterday I had 6 cans of Coca-Cola. Nobody says that. Nobody says, yesterday I drank 2 gallons of water. They don't say, they brag about sin. Amen. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink it, and they're proud about it. Oh, I can drink. My tolerance is up here. I've been drinking my whole life. Oh, so you've been cursed your whole life. Here, God says he will destroy. Well, look at verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossoms shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. God says he'll destroy those that justify their drinking because of their pride. Alcohol has never been a political issue. It's not a social issue. It's a Bible issue. Hosea chapter 4. Can you turn there? Go to Hosea chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Hosea chapter 4. We're just going to look at a few more passages here. I wish more Christians knew these. I'm amazed at how many Christians think, well, no, it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. God says alcohol is a sin. And we'll close it today with this, but not with this passage right here. Watch this. You're in Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Hosea, it's in the Minor Prophets. If you don't have it, just mark it down. You can look it up later. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. So alcohol will take your heart away from your Savior. Alcohol will take your heart away from your wife or husband. Alcohol will take your heart away from your family that God gave you. Let me just read to you. Would you go to Habakkuk? You're there in Hosea. Go over a few books to Habakkuk chapter 2. I'll read this with you in just a second, but let me read Joel chapter 3, verse 3. You're going to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to read to you Joel chapter 3 and verse 3. And they have cast lots for my people and given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Sex trafficking, minors, and pedophilia is nothing new. Immorality with children is demonic and vile, but it's nothing new. All those wicked people do is use enough booze to kill their conscience and use enough alcohol to reprobate their mind to do filthy things with children. God says that name in Joel chapter 3, verse 3. Alcohol is vile. It's never used in a good sense in the Bible. And it's amazing. As many negatives as are against it in the Bible, people will still use a couple of verses to justify it. Well, God says, take a little wine for thy stomach's infirmity's sake. Little wine. Do you drink? Okay, so when you get sick, how much NyQuil do you take? Right? That's little.
Well, God says I can have a little.
You don't drink a whole jar of NyQuil when you get sick. How come that's your definition of little when you want to justify liquor? Okay, if you want half a teaspoon for your stomach's sake, we'll give you half a teaspoon a day. You like that?
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
That's because they don't know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. Every nation where liquor is allowed and promoted will be involved in filthy sex trafficking and wickedness and prostitution. Joel chapter 3, verse 3. If they really wanted to fix the sex trafficking problem, they would outlaw the booze and alcohol. But that won't happen. I'll say it again because there's too much money. You're in Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Ready? Woe unto him, or cursed unto him, that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. If you take the first phrase of that verse, well, Jesus turned water into wine. It was an alcoholic wine. It couldn't have been, or he was violating the Bible, and we know Jesus never sinned. God says in Habakkuk 2:15, woe or cursed is him that giveth anybody drink. That's anybody that sells it or makes it. God says they're cursed. And if you give it to somebody else, you're cursed. Jesus never gave liquor to anybody. It was grape juice. He turned the water into wine, which is grape juice. He never turned it into fermented wine. But do you know how many people use that as justification? Well, Jesus turned water into wine. Okay, show it to me in the Bible. And they can't. Well, they say most Baptists say. Well, it's in there somewhere. If you had a book of Romans and John, they couldn't find it. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. And it's always a justification. Jesus didn't sin. Jesus never gave anybody alcohol, ever. He turned the water into grape juice. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said the whole volume of the book testifies of me. That whole book you got in your hand testifies of Jesus. Jesus had never break a commandment. Do you understand? He was the law of God. He is the word of God. Jesus didn't serve his dinner guests alcohol. Now every girl should take here as this warning, and it's good to hear this from your pastor. Here it says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Every man who offers a woman alcohol does so because he wants you to take your clothes off. I got that from the Bible. And prove that wrong, and you can't. He has a motive in mind when he's offering you a drink. This is pretty frank this morning, isn't it? You see, only creepy critter, bottom feeder losers who are Christ rejectors and deceived sinners serve liquor. They know that you won't fornicate unless you get the devil in you through that alcohol. So if he can just get some booze in you, he won't look so greasy and stinky, and he'll look a little more charming and a little more handsome than he had if you had not drunk. To stay away from a bed of shame, stay away from every boy who doesn't stay away from alcohol. Amen. A bartender who serves liquor is cursed. A stewardess on an airplane that serves liquor is cursed. A businessman who wants liquor at his company party is cursed. Parents who have it in the refrigerator and your cooking stock. You better be careful. If your kids get a hold of it, you're cursed. You gave it to them. Well, we cook with it. You made it available. Shame on you. Micah chapter 2, verse 11. It says, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. You say, this people will accept anybody, a pastor or a priest, who loves drink. It's amazing how many pastors drink. Churches have now beer booths in their festivals. Churches set up bars and fellowship halls for wedding receptions. Personally, I won't do a wedding if there's any alcohol involved. Well, Pastor, there won't be any in the ceremony, but at the reception, you know, we're Catholic. So if you're going to have alcohol anywhere during any part of the wedding, I love you, I'll pray for you, but no, I will not participate. And I won't go to it either. I hope your marriage is the best. I want the best for you, but alcohol is cursed, and it should have no part in a Christian's life. I say that biblically. You say, well, you're just narrow-minded. This is a subject that is so much through your Bible. You'd have to read your Bible with blinders on or not read your Bible at all to not see this. Amen? This is something where it's amazing, but we live in America, and America's Christianity is so weak and watered down and liquored down. People don't mind a drinking preacher, but they do mind... a pastor that preaches against drinking. This is sad. I read this week. A pastor in Christianity Today. That's Billy Graham's paper put out in the 60s. It's been around a while, Christianity Today. That's for those who think he's a wonderful America's man of God. I would say he's the man of God America deserves, but no, I would not call him a man of God. This pastor, in an article from 2 years ago, this was the title, A Church That Drinks Together Stays Together. This was 2015. They had a cafe in their church, and they said the days of, listen what they call it, backward, intolerant, legalistic preaching against alcohol are behind us now. Now those who preach against alcohol are stumbling blocks. So just call me Pastor Stumbling Block. Amen? Alcohol itself is not evil. It's drunkenness that Scripture condemns. We shouldn't be interested in appeasing traditional church members, but instead we should be interested in the potential serving alcohol to reach many outside the church. In other words, put alcohol on the church sign down here and you'll get more visitors. That is so wicked to me. A legalist is someone who adds works for salvation, not someone who preaches against sin. Pastors who drink liquor are in the same boat as the drunkards at the Masonic Lodge and should be ashamed of themselves. They're more interested in getting a crowd than obeying God. And if a pastor won't preach against alcohol, then he isn't God's man. He's a moral degenerate. The next time alcohol is mentioned in the Bible is, the first time alcohol is mentioned in the Bible is when Noah got drunk. Then Noah got naked. Then something happened where Noah cursed his son because of how his son treated him when he was naked. That's the first time drunkenness is mentioned in the Bible. First time alcohol is mentioned. Next time it's mentioned is Genesis chapter 19. When Lot's two girls at the end of the chapter get their dad drunk so they can have children by him. That's incest. That's the next time it's mentioned. The next time alcohol is mentioned, look, from Nabal's dying in drunkenness to David getting Uriah drunk to cover up the pregnancy with his wife, to Absalom getting his brother drunk so he could murder him, to John the Baptist getting his head cut off because Herod was drunk, alcohol's never spoken of in any type of good or something that's a blessing in the Bible. It's all through the Bible cursed. Drinking alcohol is a sin. There's over 160 verses in your Bible that condemn alcohol. That's more scripture than you can find on lying, adultery, swearing, pride, cheating, stealing, hypocrisy, and even blasphemy. I don't know how anyone naming the name of Christ can justify drinking alcohol at all. It's a vile, horrible sin. The Bible's against it, and God never speaks about it in a good way. I want to end this morning by going with, take your Bible and go to the front and go to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, and watch this. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Look at verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and all, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. That's in the Old Testament, right? God told Aaron that, when you come into my house, the tabernacle, if you drink any alcohol, I'll kill you, right? That's pretty plain in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 10. Take your Bible now and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to just show you a couple of verses. Look at 1 Corinthians in your New Testament, chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's if you're saved. Amen. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If you're saved this morning, God says your body is his temple. And if you defile it with alcohol, this is where God lives now, right? God doesn't live in a building. God lives in you. And God says if you defile the temple, God says, in the Old Testament, God says, I'll kill you. In the New Testament, God says, I'll destroy you. You know how God destroys you in the New Testament? He just lets your life waste away with the liquor when you justify sin. You're in 1 Corinthians 3. Let's look at two more verses. We'll go to chapter 6. Go over just three more chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's just look at two more verses. Look at verse number 19. What? Here it is again. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How in the world could any Christian read the Bible and say, well, it's just a matter of preference, and it's okay as long as you don't get drunk? I think it's a wicked thing to tell people. And I think the Bible teaches alcohol is a sin in any form. It shouldn't be in your house. It shouldn't be anywhere. Get it out, burn it, dump it in the commode. Do what you got to do. Get rid of the filth. Get the curse away from you so God can help you. Amen? So God can help you. Let's pray. Father, please, Lord, I know that this is a subject that is not heard a lot nowadays. But please, Father, Lord, you say so much in your word against it. Please help us as your children in this world that justifies it and in this drunken community. Please help these people, strengthen us as your people so that we're more usable and yielded to you. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.